From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're about a month away from the one-year anniversary of the day George Floyd was killed, or after last week's jury verdict, we can now say George Floyd was murdered by then-police officer Derek Chauvin. Since then, there's been growing scrutiny of police tactics and a call for greater accountability. One of our listeners, Joe, gives voice to concerns shared by many Americans.
I've had some interactions with the police where I have been stopped. I'm a black man. I'm 6 feet tall and over 200 pounds. And I've been told that I looked like someone, and I lived in a neighborhood on the southwest side of Champaign at that time. My son is now a 17-year-old driver, and he was stopped once when he was still practicing, and the police approached the car with a hand on the belt and hand on the gun. And I would say my wife used her privilege of being a white woman and was able to question that interaction. I think there is the police has a place, but I think as a black man, unfortunately, every time I see the police, my heart jumps. So something that we need to talk about, and something that we need to do to make the police more of a peace force than a retribution force.
Thank you, Joe, for sharing your story and your views. A Gallup survey last summer found a vast majority of the respondents, 94%, said at least some change is needed to improve policing. And a majority of that group said major changes need to happen. Since then, states such as Colorado, New Mexico, and Connecticut have ended or limited what's known as qualified immunity, the legal principle that protects police officers and other government officials from being sued for violating statutory or constitutional rights. Now, Illinois is considering ending qualified immunity through legislation introduced by State Representative Curtis Tarver. It's called the Bad Apples in Law Enforcement Act, and it would remove qualified immunity for police and require local municipalities to disclose information about settlements over misconduct. Representative Tarver is a Democrat from the south side of Chicago. His district goes from Hyde Park to the Indiana state line. He joins us now by phone. Representative Tarver, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We're also joined by Peter Hanna, who is the legal advisor for the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois. Peter, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
And Ed Wojcicki is with us. He's executive director of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. Ed, thank you for coming on the program.
Good to be here, Brian.
Listeners, we can take your questions and comments at 800-222-9455. Do you think police should have qualified immunity? 800-222-9455 is the number. Maybe you have had an interaction with law enforcement that speaks to what we're talking about. Again, you can join our conversation, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Peter, I'm going to begin with you if I can. Can you talk about what is qualified immunity? How does it protect police officers in civil lawsuits?
Yeah, absolutely. So the modern qualified immunity doctrine really came into existence in 1982, and it was put into place by the U.S. Supreme Court. And what it basically does is create this, largely insurmountable, increasingly insurmountable barrier for people who allege constitutional violations by police to have their claims decided by a court. It prevents courts from actually considering whether a constitutional violation occurred. So removing that barrier doesn't remove all defenses police have. It just allows courts to reach the question of, did a constitutional violation occur, and was someone injured as a result of it?
And can you talk a little bit more about how it came into being? Why does this doctrine exist?
Yeah, it was created, as I said, by the Supreme Court. And what the Supreme Court wanted to do, and I think that maybe the intentions were good initially, but the outcome has been disastrous, was effectively they did not want public officials to find themselves facing liability for doing something that they did not know was a violation of the Constitution. So they created this requirement that in order for a constitutional claim to be heard by a court, the plaintiff must produce or identify clearly established law, which basically means very high court, Supreme Court or right below it, precedent. It says that the conduct that I'm claiming violated the Constitution was previously adjudicated by a court to have violated the Constitution. So without clearly established law, you cannot overcome qualified immunity. One of the problems is courts have interpreted this definition to require almost an exact identical course of behavior previously found to be unconstitutional to overcome qualified immunity later. And I'm happy to provide an example later on when the opportunity arises.
Sure, sure. Representative Curtis Tarver, let me bring you into the conversation. Can you talk about what motivated you to introduce this legislation, what you're calling the Bad Apples in Law Enforcement Act?
I mean, I think the fact that you have a judicial overstep doing the job of the legislature and creating a shield that is pretty much insurmountable, that coupled with the fact of what we're seeing nationally, and particularly within this state, in the city of Chicago, with many Black and brown unarmed individuals not only being shot and killed, but maimed, harmed in other ways as well. You know, when you think about, you know, a police officer that admits under oath that he knew a woman had a one-year-old child in the backseat of her car, but still decided to ram her car anyway. And the court says, well, I mean, how would he know that you can't ram a car with a one-year-old in it? Because we don't have an exact case where somebody rammed a car with a one-year-old in it, and we said you can't do that. I mean, things like that prompted me to look at this opportunity to introduce this bill.
Ed Wojcicki, let me bring you into the conversation, Executive Director of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. As I gather, your organization is opposed to this legislation. Can you talk about why? What is the basis of your where do you think this law goes or this legislation goes wrong?
Oh, sure. It you know, I think Peter was almost right in his explanation of qualified immunity. And both he and the representative used the word insurmountable, and it's just not accurate. It's not an insurmountable barrier. We all want police to protect people's constitutional rights, and there's no protection against any criminal offense that a police officer might do. And in fact, we reviewed the last 200 or so lower court cases where qualified immunity was looked at, and 4 times out of 10, the officers were denied qualified immunity. So it is far from an insurmountable barrier. And we have other objections to the law. And one thing that I want to point out is that the police are actually the first defenders of constitutional rights in this country. Where I sit here in my office, the governor's mansion is catty-corner from here. And all the time during legislative session, I see protesters go by, you know, and they have a right to do that. And I'm glad that they do. And it doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or a Republican governor. Every time I see a protest outside the governor's mansion, I see police there protecting and defending the right of those people to do their constitutional rights. And that's as it should be.
Peter, we heard Ed Wojcicki there say, according to their review, 4 out of 10 cases, you know, qualified immunity was denied. But I guess the flip side of that is that in 6 out of 10 cases, it was granted. So can you talk about how often or rarely, how would you characterize it? How often are cases dismissed because of qualified immunity, Peter?
Yeah, and I'd like to just sort of address what Ed said. So, you know, one thing that I think is totally missed is that, you know, I was a private litigator at a law firm for many years, and I took many cases pro bono and other cases. And there were many cases that I couldn't take because of qualified immunity. So there's no way to quantify the number of cases that people could bring when their constitutional rights are violated by a police officer that they don't bring or a lawyer won't take. What the Bad Apples Act, HB 1727, would do is just remove some hurdles in the existing system. So, you know, I think that the review really misses a huge chunk of civil rights violations that are happening that cannot be vindicated because of the existence of qualified immunity. And the one example, it yields very, very strange results. In a case called Baxter v. Bracey, a year ago, an individual sued because a police officer, after apprehending them and they'd surrendered, they were on their knees with their hands up in the air. A couple of police officers joined the police officer who apprehended him, and they talked. And then after about a minute or two, they released the police dog to and ordered it, you know, commanded it to attack this individual. He sued the police department and he produced a previous case where an individual had proven a constitutional violation occurred when police had unleashed a attack dog on them. They had been had surrendered as well. But the court denied Mr. Baxter's claim under qualified immunity. And they said that the previous case, that individual was lying face down with their hands up and he was on his knees with his hands up. So unfortunately, he did not show clearly established law. So in addition to the fact that qualified immunity does not allow people to bring lawsuits, I mean, even with this HB 1727 in place, all that means is I can bring a lawsuit and actually have a court adjudicate the claim. In addition to that, it yields very, very strange results. And oddly, and paradoxically, the more inventive and creative a constitutional violation is, the more broad the scope of qualified immunity protection. And that just does not make any sense at a time that we are really striving to achieve meaningful police accountability.
Hey, Brian, I want to jump in here for just a minute because I want to point out that there was a bill that Representative Tarver voted for, House Bill 3653, that addressed qualified immunity. It says, let's create a task force to really study this issue. I'm going to keep talking about this because what happened was this law says that there needs to be a task force established to take a look at this issue. And the task force is not even created yet. And we're all for this task force. We have a place on it.
All right,
many people have a place on it. Yeah. And so why do this legislation now before the task force doesn't work?
Let me ask that question. We have the sponsor here on the program, Representative Tarver. Why do this legislation now?
Let me hit two quick points, first of all, because I want to level set. Ed is out here putting, you know, this sort of narrative out. Law enforcement are the same individuals, Ed's organization as well, who slipped in opposition to a bill that said if law enforcement officers convicted of criminal sexual assault of a child, they could be held liable. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about law enforcement. It's not just qualified immunity. That's number one. Number two, Ed says that, you know, they want to see people, have their constitutional rights protected and things like that and get rid of bad police officers. Ask Ed what his organization has done. What have they put forth ever in order to weed out bad apples? The answer is nothing. That's number two. Number three, Ed talks about, we want to see people protest. Do you, Ed? Because what happened in Chicago when people protested? What happened when people protested then? Right, exactly. That's why we have consent decrees, we have federal lawsuits, and we have now CPD having to come back and change how they do things. So let's not just put that narrative out there as though police are just, you know, sitting by and patting people on the back about their constitutional rights. Now, as far as why the bill is here right now, is because people, number one, 3663 was my shell bill. So, and I did vote in favor of it. And qualified immunity was removed from the bill. I think that was a mistake. I really do. I understand the task force is not set up yet. But we also know what happens with task force in the state of Illinois. They don't always move as quickly as they should. We're going to now wait on a report to tell us what is common sense, that police officers in Ed's organization are still shooting and maiming and harming unarmed black and brown people. That's what we know. So, Ed, if you want to wait for that, fine. I mean, how many more lives should be lost because we have vigilante cowboys out here shooting and hurting unarmed people? That's my question for you, Ed.
All right, we need to take a break here in about a minute and a half, but Ed, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to Representative Tarver there.
Sure. You know, we just think it's a good idea to let this task force do its work. And, you know, and as far as how many more lives are going to be lost, you know, those are statements that are going to be made. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, the police in Illinois do not shoot and kill a whole lot of people. I mean, of course, it does happen sometimes and it's always tragic. But they use that rhetoric to justify taking away qualified immunity. We agree that accountability is needed. And in fact, when the representative says we've never produced nothing, let me tell you, in 2017, we put forth the most, the best language to revise use of force law in Illinois. And it was a gentleman named Chuck Gruber, who's known all over the country. We gave that language to the House Democrats, and that was in 2017, and it's gone nowhere. We have been all about accountability for many years, and we can't get a hearing on some of the legislation that we think would be terrific to bring police into more accountability.
Okay, we need to take a break here. I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt. We need to take a break on the program. We are going to continue this conversation after we break. We are speaking with State Representative Curtis Tarver about legislation he introduced, aims to end qualified immunity for police officers in Illinois. Also, Ed Wojcicki, Executive Director of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police, and Peter Hanna, Legal Advisor for the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois. You can join us, 800-222-9455. More to come on the 21st. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we are talking about legislation that aims to end qualified immunity for police officers in Illinois. We're talking about that with the sponsor of the legislation, State Representative Curtis Tarver, a Democrat from Chicago. Also, Peter Hanna, who's a legal advisor for the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois, and Ed Wojcicki, Executive Director of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. Listeners, you're welcome to join our conversation. If you have a comment or question, 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. We also asked listeners in our texting group about this topic, and several shared support for removing qualified immunity. Jeff in Bloomington wrote in to say, "Officers have sworn to uphold the law. With that commitment, additional powers and privileges to investigate and arrest are granted to enforce the law. It does not put them above the law. Qualified immunity is terrible and should be removed." That's Jeff. Marlene in Urbana shared that view and said it causes autocratic, harmful behavior. Wilbur in Rantoul said no one should ever have qualified immunity. Everyone should be responsible for their own actions. Peter, Hanna, I wonder if you want to respond to anything you've heard from our listeners there or anything that was said before the break. We had to interrupt the conversation.
Yeah, no, I think your listeners get it. They understand that this is a ridiculously difficult and needless and unjust barrier to police accountability. When you have someone like Derek Chauvin accumulating 18 complaints against him and still on the street, you know, only disciplined twice lightly. When you have someone like Jason Van Dyke, again, 19 complaints or so against him, still on the street, only disciplined slightly. Eventually, without accountability, we get the kinds of outcomes that we get. But, you know, to Ed's point about the task force, this is not, qualified immunity is not a, you know, exotic concept. It's been studied and written about for many decades. We understand its impact. We understand how it works. We understand how it corrodes police accountability. And we understand that it has to go. A majority of Illinoisans, just like a majority of Americans, think that police should not have qualified immunity protection. Any kind of argument that this is beneficial for police actually misses the point, because it's only beneficial for bad apples. If you're a good cop, which, you know, the majority of police are, you don't ever have to worry about qualified immunity. It'll never even come up. But if you're one of the bad apples that we hear about again and again, qualified immunity will protect you and ensure that even when you do something unconscionable, someone and hurt someone in a very terrible way, they have to navigate this arcane, difficult, pointless legal doctrine to achieve any amount of justice. So I'm very surprised when I hear police say they want to reduce bad apples actors, but then they push back on these important and necessary policy changes with all their force. It just keeps us in the same spot, in the same cycle, where more than 1,000 Americans are killed by police every single year.
I want to read another text from a listener. Teresa in Crystal Lake wrote in to say, again, nobody sharing similar views as we heard earlier. Nobody should be above the law. I really do not want police to stop me. I am Mexican American, she said. I am brown color. I am afraid of the police. We also received a voicemail from a listener in California, of all places. Let's take a listen to that.
My name is Ole Johnson. I'm calling from California, Bakersfield, California. My comment is that, yes, I've always had a phobia of police. I'm from originally from the South, and I always had phobia of police because of my experience with my father and my siblings. So yes, I think the immunity, that's to protect the police, I believe, but they need to protect the citizen too. So yeah, I just think they should have they should be screened more. They should be screened, and they should be just like nurses. They should be screened, and they need to go to school and know how to treat people. Yes, I'm not for them building immunity for them to be protected and for the citizens not to be protected. No, I'm not for that. So you can draw it from there. Thank you very much for having me.
So, Ed Wojcicki, when you hear concerns like this from people who have varying experiences with police and want an end to qualified immunity, do you have a thought on how officers or state policy can help ensure that police are accountable in instances of excessive force?
Sure. We've taken care of that to a large extent with the Safety Act. What we really pushed with Attorney General Kwame Raoul was the provisions in state policies and procedures to decertify officers who should not be officers. We want to get rid of bad cops, and we work closely with the Attorney General to change that language so that we can get rid of bad cops. You know, it's a misnomer to call this bill the Bad Apples Act, because we've already taken care of the bad apples. And this is just an example. This bill is that they're never satisfied. They're just going to keep targeting police. You know, some of those listeners said that nobody should have qualified immunity. Do they also mean state lawmakers, firefighters, teachers? You know, and because I think when people say that, they just don't understand what qualified immunity is. And what we say is, of course, the police need to do more with community policing. Of course, they need to build relations. Of course, they need to build trust. But it's a huge leap to go from that to say, let's take away qualified immunity.
And Representative Tarver, would teachers or firefighters be affected by your legislation?
First and foremost, let's be clear. This is not a target toward police officers. And being a police officer is a profession that people select, right? This would notify people on the way going in, hey, if you do something wrong, then you can be held accountable. That's number one. The legislation focuses primarily, not targets, but focuses primarily on law enforcement, because we haven't seen any videos of teachers putting their knees on people's necks for 9 minutes. We haven't seen that. We haven't seen teachers sicking dogs on people. We haven't seen firefighters shooting unarmed people in the back. And so to the point of one of the listeners who talks about screening people, that's what the Bad Apples Act would do. It would prompt municipalities to screen people on the front end and to provide ongoing training and resources, just like is necessary in the private sector, to ensure they have the best and the brightest out on the street. What Ed is talking about with this, the true misnomer of that we've solved the problem, is, hey, we can decertify people. Ed's a smart guy. He has common sense. He understands that decertifying people is down the road. It's down the road. The Bad Apples Act will help people on the front end. You know, and I want to be clear about something. You know, Ed talks about this task force as the panacea, the holy grail, and he wants to see those results. My question for Ed is, okay, great. If that law enforcement panel comes back, or the task force comes back and says, you know what, we studied the issue and we should end qualified immunity, then what will he say? Then what will he say? That's a relevant question for Ed. I'd love to hear him answer that.
Ed Wojcicki, do you want to weigh in on that? If the task force does basically recommend the legislation that's under consideration now or something like it?
Well, you know, it's always hard to deal with hypotheticals. We're going to participate in the task force, and we'll be listening to what everybody has to say. And, you know, there's the organization of called NOBLE, the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives. They want to see some changes in qualified immunity. And so we'll listen, and we'll listen to what everybody says at the table. And so I'm glad that the representative's open to what the task force might say, because I am too. And we'll always listen.
Peter, I want to ask you one, I guess, if you have anything to weigh in on some of the last few moments we've been talking about. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say, number one, I'm obviously not, an assembly person. I think that this task force is just another version of, the committee to study the topic and refer it to another committee and then make a recommendation and then have that sort of cycle continue. You know, we talked a lot about sort of the efforts of police to regulate themselves or municipalities to regulate themselves, but we have a long history in America and in Illinois of knowing and learning that municipalities can't always be trusted to regulate themselves. We know that that has been an issue in the past. And what HB 1727 is, and I think Ed is sort of just sidestepping entirely, is it is part of a holistic approach. There is no single measure that is going to resolve the policing crisis in this country or in our state. But actually doing what Representative Tarver has put forth courageously and in a way to try to solve this is part of a holistic approach. We have to make police aware that they could possibly face some accountability in civil court if they violate someone's constitutional rights. But as it stands right now, it is exceedingly rare. So I think, Ed did not answer Representative Tarver's question. He said he just listened. NOBLE has come out against qualified immunity multiple times. LEAP, the Law Enforcement Action Partnership, has also supported Representative Tarver's bill and testified, in support of it. There are a lot of law enforcement voices who support this because they also realize that there needs to be a holistic approach to reforming and reimagining police if we want to actually fix this crisis, solve it.
We need to end our conversation now. Representative Tarver, I want to give you the last word here, though. Trevor Noah, the host of The Daily Show, shared a video earlier this month where he talks about policing in America, and specifically the phrase bad apples. He says, quote, "We're told time and time again that these incidents that Black Americans are experiencing are because of bad apples, right? There are bad apples in these police departments who are doing these things," end quote. He then goes on to ask, where are the good apples? And he suggests maybe the problem is more of, in his words, a rotten tree. And I wonder, as the sponsor of the bad apples legislation, if you can comment on that, that idea and where this movement needs to go.
Listen, let me say, I 100% believe that the majority, the overwhelming majority of law enforcement are good men and women. I absolutely believe that. I think they, intend to do the right thing. The problem, I think, starts in training and continues with the lack of training on an ongoing basis. I think, the other issue is that there's just really no accountability. I think there are a lot of people who come into law enforcement and expect to do a good job. And then once they're paired up with older folks, folks who've been on the job for a while who, demonstrate that you can kind of do whatever you want. You have unfettered discretion. I think that happens, to have an effect on those individuals. But let me just say this briefly as well, that we're missing a very, very big component of this conversation. And I think Ed conveniently sidestepped it until he pointed out the one organization in Black law enforcement. This is not just simply a general issue. This is a Black and brown issue. The only thing that really matters in this instance is the race of the victim. That's the bottom line. If there were white women and white men being harmed and maimed by police, we would have solved this problem a long time ago. It would have been on a bipartisan basis. It would have been on a bipartisan basis. And so I think that's what we have to talk about. We talk about the movement and where this thing is headed. Let's be honest, let's have a frank conversation, because I can't remember the last time I've seen the video of the white person being shot and killed. We had one incident in Minnesota we know recently, and that officer was convicted before Derek Chauvin was, right? Immediately. So let's not miss the fact that there's a highly, and the first person that you put on, mentioned this, and I think it's Champagne, who had a white wife, that she was able to use her privilege. But his 17-year-old son, he have been, the victims of profiling and, unfair treatment by law enforcement. This is a racial issue as well. So I thank you for giving me the last word.
State Representative Curtis Tarver is sponsor of legislation aiming to end qualified immunity for police officers in Illinois. We've also been speaking with Ed Wojcicki, Executive Director of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police, and Peter Hanna, Legal Advisor for the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois. Thank you all for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.